I'm reading again from John 14, verse 4, John 14, verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Never man spake like this man. So Nicodemus thought when, in reply to his complimentary greeting, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man could do the miracles which thou doest except God be with him. And the Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Never man spake like this. So Nathanael thought when Christ said to him, before Philip called thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. You saw me under the fig tree? When Philip came to me and said, we found the Messiah, we found the Christ, you saw me? Yes, Nathanael, before Philip called thee, I saw you sitting there. I knew what you were thinking. You were under the fig tree for a special reason. You had gone there to contemplate the promises and the prophecies, and I saw you. Never a man spake like this man. So Zacchaeus thought, when he ran and climbed up the tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ, being short of stature, and he couldn't see the Lord because of the people in front of him. So he ran ahead, climbed up in a tree. And when Christ came under that tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus came down, and the Lord Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, today salvation is come to your house. Never man spake like this. So Peter thought when the Lord Jesus would go to the cross, the Master would go to Jerusalem and be mistreated and then nailed to a cruel tree. And Peter said, Lord, don't go. Don't go to Jerusalem. Just stay here. We love you. Don't go to Jerusalem and be mistreated of these people and die on a cross. And the Lord Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. Never a man spake like this man. So thought the scribes and Pharisees when Christ took off their mask of hypocrisy, when Christ stripped them of their religious veneer, when Christ let the world look into their hearts and see what was there, the corruption and the evil and the wickedness covered up by their ceremonies and rituals. And he said to them, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Never a man spake like this man. So Pilate thought, when this man was brought before him, bound, with a crown of thorns pressed into his brow and the blood trickling down his face and his back laid open, lacerated by the cat of nine tails. And Pilate said to him, are you a king? And the Master looked at him with those eyes that see into the very heart of a man and said, to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world. Never man spake like this man. So the centurion thought when he saw him hanging on that cross. He had been cursed and cruelly treated. He'd been beaten. He'd been nailed with rusty spikes to a Roman tree. He'd been hanged between two thieves and spit upon and denied even a drink of water in his dying hour. And he looked down into the faces of those who lied on him, false witnesses that had borne lies and evil tales, those who had forsaken him and denied him and betrayed him and sold him out, and those who had driven the nails and those who had spit upon him. He looked down into their faces, and then he lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Never man spake like this man. No matter where and no matter when and no matter to whom he spoke, whether in the temple or whether on the seashore, whether on the side of a mountain or whether standing in a boat, whether speaking to the doctors and lawyers in the temple or whether talking to a little child, whether speaking to a fallen woman or speaking to a Pharisee visiting him by night, never, never man spake like this man. The scribes heard him, and they were confounded. The lawyers heard him, and they became confused. The Pharisees heard him, and they were put to silence. The demon-possessed heard him and were still. The diseased heard him and they were healed. The dead heard him and they came forth. The blind heard him and they could see. The lame heard him and they walked. And the evil heard him and became pure. And this power and this authority with which he spoke, and these words which he spoke that had such power to make the diseased well and the lame to walk and the dead to rise, it was not the power of an earthly throne. Kings come and kings go, and they have their way. And by their word, men are beheaded or hanged or knighted or promoted. But his words and his authority and his power was not the power of an earthly throne. It was not the power of dungeons and jails and the racks. Many a believer has been sent to the dungeon to try to force him to deny his Lord. Many a man has been put in a prison to force them to silence. But our Lord's power and authority was not the threat of jails and dungeons and racks or even of hell. And his power and his authority was not the power of organized religion. It was not the power of emotion. But the power and authority of our Lord. This power that could be felt. This power and authority that was experienced. This power and authority that changed not only the outward acts of men, but even the inward thoughts of men. This power that reached to the motive and the attitude and changed the heart. This power that turned a man completely around and made him live. This power was the power of God. And this power was the power not of doctrine but of truth. This power was not the power of the throne nor the power of the law nor the power of organized religion. It was the power of light. It was the power of light. Like the sun that beams from heaven and makes the seed to grow. The power of God's light in the words of our Lord made the dead to live. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in words of power, the power of truth and the power of God and the power of light. He hath spoken to us by His Son. And if the words of prophets, being denied and rejected, did not go unpunished, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If they hear not Him that speaks from heaven, who will they hear? Our Lord, in this same power and authority, the power of truth, the power of light, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, He speaks today. He speaks to you. The dead heard Him and they live. What about the dead today? The diseased heard Him and they were healed. What about the diseased today? The lame heard Him and they walked. The blind heard Him and they could see. What about the dead and the blind today? He still speaks. He speaks tonight. He speaks to you. I'm not the one who warns you. I'm not the one who exhorts you. I'm not the one who invites you. I am not the one who speaks to you. It is Christ who speaks. It is Christ who speaks. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Never man spake like this man. He speaks today. He speaks today. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. That man, Jesus Christ, is God. When He works, God works. When He speaks, God speaks. When He moves, God moves. When He forgives, God forgives. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God the Father was in Christ speaking, and Christ was in His apostles and disciples and prophets and preachers speaking. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did preach to you, as though God did warn you, as though God did exhort you, as though God did beseech you by us. Show us the Father, Philip said, and we'll be satisfied. Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? He that hath heard me hath heard the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Believest thou that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father? Don't you recognize the Father? If you had believed Him, you would have believed me. And Paul is saying here, now then, we, frail instruments, earthen vessels, who's sufficient for these things? The chief of sinners, less than the least of all the saints, not worthy to be called an apostle. But we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God Himself did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Christ is not here in the flesh. But he's here in his word, and he's here in his minister, and he's here in his gospel. And it's the same as if Christ Jesus were speaking to you. Or the man's not called to preach. We pray you in Christ's stead. God did beseech you by us. Christ said to his disciples, if they will not listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and leave that city, and God's judgment will fall upon you. Because he that heareth not you heareth not me. We beseech you in Christ's stead. The same power of truth, the same power of God, the same power of life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, being regenerated, we're talking about the new birth. We're talking about the quickening of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about that powerful transformation whereby a man is taken from a spiritual grave and made alive in God. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about that miracle by which a man becomes a son of God, becomes a member of the family of God. We're talking about that everlasting miracle by which a man is translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, it's not by blood, not by the will of man, it's not by the will of the flesh, it's of incorruptible seed. The planting of the seed by the Holy Ghost. What is that seed? It is the Word of God. That's what that seed is. It's the Word of God. Never a man spake like this man. He spoke, and Lazarus walked out of his tomb. His word made him live. He spoke, and the lame took up his bed and walked by his word. That man received strength and life in his dead limbs. He spoke, and the blind could see, and the leper was cleansed by his word. And if you're ever regenerated, my dead sinner, it'll be by his word. And if you're ever given eyes to behold Christ in his saving beauty, if you ever see him not as the illegitimate son of a fallen Jewish woman, but as the Son of God, if you're ever made to see that, it'll be by the word of God. It won't be because you got older and wiser. It'll be because God, by his word, said, see, see. If those ears of yours are ever unplugged, if you're ever weaned from the siren voices of this world and made to hear the Spirit of God speak in the mysteries of the gospel, it'll be by his word. By his word. The word of truth. Turn, if you will, to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 18. Oh, I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel. It's the power of God. The gospel is the dynamite of God unto salvation. Of his own will, James 1:18, of his own will begat he us, gave us life with the word of truth. With the word of truth. Of his own will. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, and of his own will. Salvation is of the Lord. But of his own will brought he us forth, begat us with the word. And over here in our text tonight, speaking to his disciples, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. How many times have you read it? Have you ever really read it? How many times have you heard it? Have you ever really heard it? How many times have you seen it? But have you ever really seen it? We don't know where you're going. Lord, how can we know the way? I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Have you heard it? Has it come to you like a clap of thunder on a quiet night? Has it come to you like a flash of brilliant lightning on a dark night? That's it. I see it. It's changed my direction. It's changed my thinking. It's changed my life. It's made of me a bond slave of Christ. He's the way. I see it. By his word, I've been made alive. Adam, in his state of innocence and purity, needed no way to God. Adam walked with God. Adam, in his state of innocence and purity, needed no mediator. God met him in the morning, and God walked with him in the cool of the day. Adam, in his state of innocence and purity, he needed no intercessor. He needed no atoning sacrifice. He had no sin. He felt no guilt. He knew no shame. But when sin visited Adam's heart, how different the scene. It's the cool of the evening, and God comes through the garden. Where's his friend Adam? Adam? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam? And Adam answers in a trembling voice that never trembled before. Adam answers in a voice of shame and guilt that's never felt that before. I was afraid. You afraid of me, Adam? Why are you afraid of me? I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? I went and hid from thee. Let men talk all they will of their goodness. Oh, when men talk about their holiness, let them talk, if they will, of their works. Let them talk as they will of their closeness to God. But those who really know something of the glory of God, those who know something of the absolute holiness of his presence, they mourn in shame over the distance between themselves and God. Listen to David. Oh God, my sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. O God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Listen to Job. I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Once have I spoken, yea, twice, things too wonderful for me. I'll never open my mouth again. Listen to Daniel. I was left alone, and I saw the Lord. And there remained no strength in me, and my beauty and comeliness has turned in me into corruption, and I retain no strength. Adam, where are you? I'm ashamed. Adam, where are you? I'm naked. Adam, where are you? Like the Apostle Peter, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Listen to Isaiah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Not the little peanut God that people walk with and talk with in this day, but the God of heaven, high lifted up on a throne, before whom even the cherubims and seraphims veil their eyes and their ears and put their hands on their mouths, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And Isaiah said, "O God, I'm a man of unclean lips. Let men who will talk of their goodness and their holiness and their closeness to God, but those who know something of His glory, those who know something of the holiness of His immaculate, immutable law, those who know something of His divine presence in fire and purity, the more they see Him, the more they mourn over the distance between themselves and Him and cry, 'Let not God speak to us, lest we die. Give us a mediator.' Oh, won't somebody represent us to God? Won't somebody represent God to us? We want nothing to do with an absolute God. We must have a mediator." Listen to Paul cry, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Christ said, "I am the way." You're separated from God by your sins. Your sins are separated between you and God. Your sins, like a cloud, have divided you from God. There's no communion with God. There's no fellowship with God. There's no walking with God except in Christ. Except in Christ. Christ said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. No man, no man, no man born of woman, no man begotten in the flesh, no natural man, descendant of Adam, no man cometh unto the Father in any way for communion, fellowship, salvation, any way except by me. No way to God except by me. No way." God's greatest glory is the giving of His grace. In Exodus 33, Moses said, "Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And God said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you. Moses, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Christ is the only way to mercy. He's the only way to God. He's the only all-sufficient, divinely appointed way to God. The Jew turns to his rivers of oil, his oceans of blood, his cattle on a thousand hills sacrifice, and his forests of Lebanon burn. But the burden of sin is still there. The nakedness is still there. The guilt is still real. The rivers of oil will not put it away. The oceans of blood will not cleanse it. The cattle sacrificed by the thousands and the forests of Lebanon burned will not put away the burden of sin. It's still there, heavy on the heart. The pagan religionist falls to his knees under the burning desert sun, and he bows for hours and prays for hours to his dead God, who never speaks and who never comforts and who never gives peace. He walks upon the beds of glass and lies upon the beds of spikes and with bleeding feet. But still heaven is quiet. There's no voice of forgiveness, and his heart is still guilty, and there's no word of peace. The savage chants before the shrines of devils. He sacrifices his firstborn in the fire. He throws the young girl in the lake. And he comes away from that pagan sacrifice and that altar of devils with no peace. His heart like the raging sea. The sin is still there. The guilt is still there. The shame is still there. The burden is still there. God is not there. And the legalist, the religionist, bows before his laws and his rules and his religious regulations, and he keeps the holy days, and he argues his denominational position, and he goes about his business of serving his God. And when he comes to the end of the day in the quietness of the setting sun, he knows nothing of a union with God. He knows nothing of a living presence of a living Lord. He knows nothing of the peace that Christ gives that passes understanding. He knows nothing of a hope in the face of death and certainty before the judgment. He knows nothing of the quietness of God's Spirit that says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. How can my burden of guilt be lifted? How can the holy law of God be honored? How can the justice of God be effectually satisfied? How can I come before God? Show us the Father. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How in this world can frail, foolish, fallen, guilty, naked, desperately evil, sin-loving, law-hating, God-rejecting sons of Adam, how in this world can we come where you are? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Shall I offer the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? How can I come before the Lord? How can I bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I walk an aisle? Will that do it? Maybe if I get baptized, maybe that'll do it. 10,000 rivers of oil won't do it. Maybe one container of water will do it. Thousands of rams and bullocks won't do it. Maybe the hand of a preacher can do it. Offering my firstborn won't do it. Maybe if I make some decisions, it'll do it. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? What's the way to God? Is it the way of doctrine? Is it the way of legalism? Is it the way of ritualism? Christ looked at those disciples and he said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Christ is the way to righteousness before the Father. The Father will not accept our righteousness. It is filthy rags. The Father will not accept our goodness. It's polluted from the very root. But he'll accept his Son's righteousness in our stead because it's perfect as he's perfect. Christ is the way to peace with God. I may make resolutions and vows and decisions and promises, and when I make them, I know I'm going to break them. But our Lord Jesus Christ can give peace to the troubled heart, comfort to the broken heart. He can give peace and rest to the contrite heart because he never breaks his word. Christ is the way to peace with God through the atonement. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Death cannot walk over the atonement of our Lord. The forces of evil cannot reach the believer over the atonement of our Lord. Christ is the way to communion with the Father in prayer, for he is our great high priest. He makes our evil prayers to be holy. He makes our corrupt worship to be perfect. Christ is the way to life from the dead, because I live, ye shall live also. And that's the only reason. Because our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death for every one of his people. I'll go to the tomb and I'll come out on the other side, because before me he went there and he came out. Christ is the way to a glorious inheritance. It is ours in him. He still speaks. And if you hear from heaven, you'll hear him speak through his gospel. And if you don't hear him speak through his gospel, you won't hear from heaven. You won't hear. Brother Roach prayed, God meet the need of the weak and the need of the strong, because thou hast the power to meet both with the same words. That's what I'm preaching. These words which you carelessly attend to are the words of God. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you through us. Be ye reconciled to God. God spoke to you tonight. Did you hear him? Back yonder in the days of the flesh, people who were blind heard him and they went off seeing. And people who were lame heard him and they walked off and carried their beds of affliction. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he still speaks today. And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But if you don't have ears, you won't hear. What do you hear? I heard God speak. What'd you hear? I heard a man. Didn't do you any good, did it? No, sure didn't. Sure didn't. What about you that heard God? What did it do for you? Made me a new creature. My word will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I have sent it. And like the rain that comes from heaven and waters the soil, so shall my word water the ground prepared by the Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your presence and for the power of your Spirit. And thank you, O God, for speaking to us again. Oh, the matchless, mighty words, the marvelous words of our Master. How rich, how precious, how comforting. We come with a burden and we go away the burden lifted. We come with a broken heart and we go away rejoicing. We come distressed over our guilt and our shame, and like Adam hiding. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from us, and we go away feeling the powerful, intimate, personal presence of the living God. We come, O God, with the guilt of sin, and we go away hearing thy voice, thy sins be forgiven. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Maybe somebody will hear thee speak tonight. May it please thee to give us that gift, the gift of life. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.